didn't have this cut on. Well, I hope you heard that. My goodness. We're wrapping up a series. Living Fully and Dying Well. And we've talked about everything except living fully. And that's why I bring up Tom Reese, because Tom Reese exemplifies for me what it means to live fully. And I learned some things from him, and I've learned some things from you. I've learned some things from all the people that I've served and all the churches that I've served. I'm a better Christian. I'm a better man. I'm a better person because of the people that I've served have blessed me by living before me a life of faith. And these are some of the things I put together into, you might want to say, the best wisdom I have to offer you, as well as myself, on living fully. It starts with Tom Reese, but it includes so many others. And here are some of the little kernels of wisdom that I have gleaned in terms of what it means to live fully. And the first one is simply this. We have the gift of time called now to do and say the things that really matter. Life is precious. Don't waste it. And when Tom would knock on my door every Monday morning, it was his way of reminding me that this is a new day and life is precious and let's don't waste it. Don't let the grass grow beneath your feet. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 90 said in this prayer, "Teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of wisdom." Well, what was the heart of wisdom about? The heart of wisdom was about being able to live each day fully and wisely. Because we can't take it for granted, the number of days that we have. Life is so very precious. Don't waste it. The second kernel of wisdom that I would have to share with you this morning is, well, suffering in life is inevitable. But misery is optional. Life is a choice. Choose wisely. One of the best books I read very early on in seminary was a book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. He had been incarcerated in a concentration camp during World War II. He was in a concentration camp with very, very little to give him hope. Everything had been taken away from him. It was a meager existence that he had. But Viktor Frankl, inside that prison, discovered something that he had that no one could take away. And that was his choice of how to respond to the things that happened in life. And so within that concentration camp, as horrible as it was, he chose to choose life. He shared with his other prisoners whatever he had, whatever morsel of bread. He chose to live each day choosing to remember his wife and his family and what it was that brought joy to his life. He chose to look at the sun. No one could take the sun away from him. He chose to get better rather than simply to grow bitter. And of course, as he gained his freedom later on, he became a wonderful teacher, psychologist, a writer. And in this book, Man's Search for Meaning, he says that we each have a choice to make. To get better or to grow bitter. To be grateful or to grumble. Choices that the Bible tells us are as clearly as this. I have set before you life and death. Choose life. What are the things that make for life? Well, it actually has to do with our choices. Our choices to choose those things that are good and right. And so life is a choice. Choose wisely. I like the example of these crayons. When you go to color, you can choose any crayon that you like. Recently, I read in the paper where it's a new craze now for adults to take up coloring. It's a chance to get rid of stress. I don't know what it is, but there is something therapeutic in being able to choose a bright color and the color in a coloring book and then to sit back and to see what you've done. But you get to choose the colors. Well, in life, we get to choose the response we're going to have to the circumstances in life. And the Bible, again, tells us to choose wisely. Choose life. And the third thing that I would have to share is this. The good that you do on earth will live on in the lives that you touch. Life is an investment. Invest in people. Invest in people. If I were to ask you, can you name the person who won the Emmy Award 10 years ago? Could you do it? If I asked you to name the most valuable player of the Super Bowl 10 years ago, could you tell me? If I asked you who sold the most books 10 years ago, the leading author, could you tell me? But if I were to ask you, could you name one person who influenced your life as a little boy or a little girl? Could you name that person? Sure you could. Because we don't forget the people who touch our lives. And that's really what truly matters, is investing in people. You know, I've said it before, three things you can do with your life. You can waste it. Many people do. You can spend it on good things. Many people do. Or you can invest it. You can invest it in the things that will live on, will outlast. Your investment in people is never in vain. No act of love that we ever do in Christ's name in investing in other people, no act is ever in vain. And so, life is an investment. Invest in people. And the last thing I would have to share with you is simply this. God can't love you any more than He loves you right now, and He'll never love you any less. Living fully is knowing God's unconditional love for you. Receive God's love daily. It's a little bit of a pearl of wisdom in that every day we have the opportunity to place ourselves in the flow of God's love. How do you know the flow of God's love for you? It could be different things to different people. Basically, we call these the means of grace. The many different ways in which we place ourselves in the flow of God's love, in which we feel we are loved each and every day. There are things that we do. We hopefully take showers, brush our teeth, eat. There are just things that we do. They're our habits, our daily habits. But each and every day, are we truly intent on placing ourselves in the flow of God's love so that we may be filled with His love prior to attempting to share love with anyone else? As I counsel persons getting married, people coming together to share their life, the very first piece of wisdom I give is go to God first. Go to God first to be filled with what you need. Because you cannot give what you don't have. And as you allow yourself to your bucket to be filled with God's love, then you can love your mate, your spouse, with the overflow of that love. But be filled first with God's love. These are just a few of the nuggets of wisdom that I've gleaned from Tom and other persons that I've known throughout my, 38 years of ministry now. It's hard to believe all those years have passed. Perhaps the psalmist said it best of all. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I received a phone call. I was at a church in Rich Square after I left Hamlet, where I started out in the ministry in 1977. I received a phone call from Reverend Simpson from First United Methodist Church in Hamlet. And he said, William, I knew that you'd want to know about this, and I also want to extend an invitation to you. But shortly before Easter this year, Tom Reese developed pneumonia, and he was in the hospital, and he died. And the service is going to be this coming week, and I'd like to invite you to come take part and the graveside service. And certainly I did that. And so I traveled back down to Hamlet. I went to the cemetery, and I stood with the other people of the church and with Reverend Simpson, and it came time to read the scriptures and to share the prayers. And then that moment that I was a little bit dreading, and a lump had already developed in my throat, what's it going to be like to have to turn and walk away from the cemetery knowing that my friend Tom has gone on before me? Well, that lump was there, and I let the tears flow. That's the first lesson I've learned, is that, you know what? God gives us tears as a gift so we could be truly human, so that we can grieve, and ultimately that trip will take us to a place of gratitude. And so the tears came, and the lump was there, but then it was almost kind of like, how do you explain it? But as I was walking away, I heard Tom's chuckle. And I could see the image of his face before me. He had a nose like Jimmy Durante, and he had a little hat, and he had a little crooked cane, and he was quite a character. But I could hear him say to me again, "William, you've got a whole lot of living to do. Don't let the grass grow beneath your feet." You know, lots of times people ask me, "Do you believe in life after death?" And I say, "I do." But you know, there's a question I need to ask today, and that is, do you believe in life before death? Because you see, there's a difference between merely existing and really living. What does it really mean to live fully, to be fully alive, to fulfill God's purpose for your life is to be fully alive, to know God's love, to be at a place in which you can rejoice each and every day in the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and to be glad in it. These are some of the things that I would share with you today, but I'd like for you to think about where you are and how you're living fully. I don't know. Well, I want to live fully. I want to live the rest of my one and only life fully. I don't want to waste a single moment. How about you? As we close out our series, I share with you now that the place to really begin is knowing Jesus. And so our prayer of invitation is simply this. Christ can give you the reason to live, the strength to live, the joy to live, and the way to live life fully. And if you're feeling a little bit empty or a little bit drained and you need to be recharged or what have you, the invitation is simply to come to Jesus, because He's the one who gives us life and new life. He's the one who gave me my friend Tom Reese. He's the one who gives each of us to one another as gifts. He's the good and gracious God who does not withhold any good gift from His children. And so come and let Jesus give you what you need this day. Let us stand.